This is the world broadcast of Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad Speaks, the program that's dedicated to community development and human dignity. And now, Imam Waqif Deen Muhammad.
I didn't say this to depress anybody. The believers, we're not worried about them. Those who really believe, we are not worried. We are not miserable. We are not hopeless. We're enthusiastic. And we know we're going to be successful. Allah has blessed us tremendously, and we know we are going to succeed. So this is not to put a burden on the real believers. This is to try to help those that can't make up their minds. They just here and there. Don't know whether they are honeybee or horsefly. They don't know the difference. They are here and there. So we pray Allah that He'll help those people make up their minds and have the strength to choose the best. Take strength to choose the best. Have the strength to choose the best and then stand up for it against that is trying to tear down. Dear beloved Muslims, we praise Allah's choicest blessings upon Muhammad, the noble and generous leader of all the Muslims, the guide and example, the most excellent example, the model for all of us, for our behavior. We pray His most choicest blessings upon him, upon his descendants, the family and descendants, upon his followers, the righteous all, and upon us here and throughout the world. Be peace. Dear beloved Muslims, I was reading, doing some research, that is, once, and I ran across, in the subject that I was researching, the name of a man. He's called Basil, or Basil sometimes, Saint Basil. He was of the 4th century B.C. And this man, he advocated something that I would identify as eclecticism. Now, eclecticism, E-C-L-E-C-T-I-C-I-S-M, eclecticism. Eclecticism is belief or practice of the eclectics, E-C-L-E-C-T-I-C-S, eclectics. And I came across something that reminds me of this. In fact, it is exactly this. He said, he advocated this, according to Encyclopedia Britannica on Saint Basil. He advocated that the Christian world should, in his own words, be as the honeybee, collecting from here and there, as honeybees do. They go from different flowers. They don't, not just one flower, they go all the flowers. They go different flowers. Well, the flower has the nectar. They go from the flowers collecting the nectar, right? And he said, be as the honeybee going about selecting here, from here and there. And he says, in your attitude toward paganism, and take from paganism what is in principle good, and apply it to Christian teaching. This is what he taught. So he taught his people to don't just reject paganism, but to look at paganism and see what it has to offer that is applicable, applicable in Christianity, or to Christian religion. Now, these people have the nerve now to say Muslims, Morris Collins is quoted as saying, being the first one that say Muslims are eclectic. to make people think the prophet had no revelation, no true revelation, that what he did was just go about and got pieces from here and pieces from there and put together his religion. Prophet Muhammad in the Quran, Allah says of Prophet Muhammad in the Quran, he was not reading a book before this. So how could he go around picking things from different ideologies? An eclectic is one who picks from different ideas and methods. To do that, he has to be educated enough to do that. He has to know the research. He has to be able to read the books and then go to those sources. He has to be educated to do that. And Allah says in the Quran that he is not educated. He's not an educated man. And he was not reading a book before this. And he had no way of knowing what you high up people know. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Now, if he was saying something that wasn't true, then they would have challenged him. See, we're not talking about a myth. We are talking about a man who's well established in history. A man, peace and blessings be upon him, that modern scholars of the West are writing on right now. One of their modern scholars have rated him number one among the 100 top people in the world. This was written lately. Big, thick book written lately. The 100 most influential people. And he rated Muhammad the Prophet, peace be on him, the number one. He wasn't a Muslim. Western man and not a Muslim. So we're not talking about a myth. We're talking about a real human being in history established. And this man was not an educated man. He received revelation. He was guided by Allah, Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth and everything therein and all that there is. Dear beloved people, now, why would they charge such a man with that when they know that it is on record that their own chief, St. Basil, less than four centuries after the passing of Jesus, that they claim to be their Christ. Less than four centuries after his passing, here is St. Basil. In fact, Christianity hadn't been established 100 years in the life of St. Basil, because it wasn't until 300 and so years after the passing of Jesus that they established Christianity. And here is this man saying, with his own mouth, and they quote him in the Encyclopedia Britannica and other sources, because actually this encyclopedia, they were quoting other sources, instructing his people to do what they charge Muslims of being guilty of. To just take something from here and there, just to impress people. And then make all that a part of Christianity, produce that as Christianity, just teach it all as Christianity, to impress people. So you can see by what the record shows of St. Basil's part in this, that they actually introduced pagan ideas and pagan terminology, pagan principles into the religion under the name of Christianity. Anyone who wants to do research, they can do it. Research Christmas. It has no origin in Jesus' teaching. Its origin is in paganism, idolatry. They used to worship trees, evergreen trees. They used to worship fire. They used to burn the trees and make a big fire and celebrate once a year. And now they don't burn it. They put some bugs on them. The fire department would have too much of a problem if you burnt the trees. So when I was a boy, they used to enjoy burning them too. After Christmas, after they got through with them, then they took them on a vacant lot, piled them up, and burned them, just like the pagans did. Stood around and watched the fire. Smelt the pine burning in there. And it's Christmas spirit. Yeah. So it doesn't go back to Jesus, peace be upon the prophet. It goes back to the idolaters, the paganism. Look at your Easter. Say, well, what about you all's holidays? They go back to Quran and the prophet, peace be upon him. That's where they go. Yes. Easter, another pagan ritual. Pagan symbolism. Idolatrous things in the religion. In fact, a man, a human being, being the Son of God itself, came from paganism. Not from the teachings of Jesus. Came from paganism. And it so happens that there was a man in that early period, right along the time when St. Basil was preaching, who differed. And what did they do with him? They locked him up, caused the man life, caused the man his life. And his name is Arius. Arius, or is also pronounced Arius. Arius or Arius. This man, he said, no, that's not true, that Jesus is God. Says Jesus is only a type of the greatest possible excellence for the human being. This is what this man said. He said, no, his substance is not God's substance. Say, he was a human being. And what did they do with him? Charged him, condemned him, labeled him a heretic, and caused him to lose his life. Caused his life to go. This is what they did to him. And now there are Christians who believe, just like Arius was teaching. Yes. There are denominations of Christians who believe, just like Arius was teaching. Although we know the great majority of Christians believe like St. Basil. Well, St. Basil was the one who championed the other side. He championed the other argument that no, Jesus is God. His substance is also God's substance. He championed that, you see. St. Basil. Now, dear beloved people, you who really are not the partner in establishing Christianity, you people I'm looking at now, you were no partner in establishing Christianity. You got it on the last go-round. Now, that's just the truth. Now, why don't you question what these people give you like you question what we give you? We don't tell you not to question what we give you. We want you to question what we give you. Because we want you to understand what you're getting. Well, why don't you question what they gave you too, like you question what we give you? Now, the same people that persecuted scientists called them crazy. Same Christian government that persecuted scientists, Galileo, and many others, and locked them up for life and killed some of them because they said what they were teaching was untrue. And then later had to buy what they were teaching and establish that they were scientists and they were men teaching facts. And they have killed the people. Now, the same people, they said Arius was wrong. Shouldn't you wonder about them? Maybe Arius was right. They couldn't charge Arius with being a non-virtuous Christian. They couldn't attack him from that angle. His life was good as a Christian. All they attacked him for was that he said, no, Jesus is not God. The two are different. He is a human being. God is God. And they condemned the man for it. You should be happy to be Muslim. If we have any non-Muslim in here today, you shouldn't be a non-Muslim now. You should be a Muslim. It shouldn't take nothing but a peep to straighten our heads out. I'm telling you, what have you gotten from this world anyway to make you feel so allied with them? What have you gotten from this world? We're still going uphill. Aren't we? Still struggling uphill trying to get recognition. We are not fully recognized yet. Although they have passed I don't know how many laws, all that legislation hasn't cured the situation yet. Still an uphill struggle for the African-American man. So why you got such strong allegiance with white Christians, I don't know. I don't know. I can't understand that, believe me. And I studied, I think that's why I studied psychology so much. I'm trying to understand my own folks. And believe me, I studied psychology, I just can't understand. I guess it's something beyond your control. It has to be. Like the people that just do things by habit, and they do them for years, it's beyond their control. Beyond their control. They have no control over it. You have a light switch, and certain individuals have a habit of every time they come in that room, they flick that light switch off. They don't know why they do it. Sun can be had a room bright enough for you to take a picture with a bad camera. And they come in and flick the light switch on. Every time they come in, they go right to that light switch, flick it on. They don't know why. You break the switch off to a little stub and damage the wire, and they can't get the light to come on. And you come and check it every day, and they done push that little stub up. And every time they push it up, you push it down. And the light ain't working now, but you push it down to see if they'll do that tomorrow. You come back tomorrow, they done push it up again. Because they got a habit. They don't know why. Ain't no sense in it. No brains working there. It's just a habit. It's automatic. They just come in that room, and they see that thing, they gonna flip. Now, the thing broke off. It's hard to flip it up. They got to take the thumb and just and beat it and flip. They get it up every day. Now, that's my report. First-hand observation. They've been doing that for 1 month. I'm waiting to see how long they're going to do it. They have a hard time trying to do it because the thing is a little stub there. You got to get there and get your finger up on that little stub and then push it up. But every day, that thing is on with no light. Now, I'm wondering, maybe that's how a lot of our habits are. That's how a lot of the things that we stand upon, a lot of things that we just defended, I think is ingrained, deeply ingrained habits that we have gotten inherited from the slave situation. And we're not aware of ourselves. I know that whoever's doing that, I don't know who it is in my house that's doing that. That's my house I'm telling you about. I don't know who it is. I'm going to find out, though. I don't know who that is in my house that keeps trying to turn a light on that ain't working. See, there's two switches. One is for a mirror glass. The other one is for the ceiling light, you see. So the one for the mirror glass is broke because I broke it. And I broke it because it stays on all the time. And it puzzled me. Say, how come this light's on all the time? Every time I come in, this light's on. Never goes out. So I said, I'll cut it out. Every time I come back, it's back on. So I got me something, and I just broke the thing off. And it still was on, so I took and I hit it again, and until I got it to break it loose, whatever's connected. So it's not working. It stopped working. When I knew it wasn't working anymore, then I left it. And I came back the next day, and the thing was up. I had a curiosity. My curiosity said, check and see if they tried to turn it on. And I checked it, and it was on. It was pushed up, loose up, pushed up. And I've been checking it now for about a month, and every day it's pushed up. And they haven't got the light on in 30 days. But they're still pushing that thing up every day. We need each other's support. We have to be sincere in our worship of Allah and obey Allah's word in the Quran and follow the example of Prophet Muhammad. Be sincere in that. And then we have to follow Prophet Muhammad's advice to us that we should love each other and we should care about each other and we should be affected by what is affecting each other. The believer doesn't see his Muslim brother and sister in difficulty or in pain or in misery or hungry, etc., not even his neighbor, and not be touched or affected in his own heart. So let us remember this and be true to this religion, and let us support our community structures. Let us support our school, support the masjid, support the effort to get our minds into constructive life and constructive work and profitable work, so we won't be on welfare and beggars all our lives.
Dear beloved Muslims, Allah Most High says in the Quran, it's a widowful fi butuni umahatikum. He shaped you in the womb of your mother. He shaped you in the womb of your mother. This should bring to mind the importance of life for us. Life is no accident. Life has development that has been given to it by God. Allah Most High, He created life, gave us life, and created for us the disciplines of life. And we are shaped, as He says, in the wombs of our mother. It is given in Hadith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and the blessings be upon him, that he said that Adam was created by God on a pattern or design, and that the human being cannot get to heaven except on that pattern. And the word that God used for that is also surah. The same word used for the shaping of us in the wombs of our mother, surah, which tells us that God has given us a design for our developmental nature. And we are to develop in that way that God has ordered and designed. And that way was given to Adam, the first man, the first parent, Adam. Muslims don't believe that Adam is just a creature created by God only. Muslims also believe that God taught Adam, that God gave Adam great knowledge, that Adam was a learned man, created by God, and educated by God. God taught him, Allah says in the Quran, that he taught Adam the names of things. عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءِ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam the names, all of the names. So we know from that that Adam was a creature created by God and taught by God, and that Adam is our ancestor, the first of the human ancestors. Praise be to Allah. So if we understand that now, and then God says to us in Quran that He shapes us, or He gives us the design, the same design that He gave Adam, that He gives us that design in the wombs of our mothers, then we should place great importance upon the mother. We should value our mothers very highly. We should regard them very highly. Allah says, Wattaqullaha, fear God, wal arhama, and the relationships that bear you, and those relationships that are responsible for you being born. So God teaches us to respect our birth, the mother that bore us, and the relationships responsible for the birth. Respect those things with deep respect. Have deep regard for those relationships. For without them, we couldn't be here. There's no way for us to be here without that. It's the only way to come here. is through the means that Allah created. And Allah has created mother as a means for us to come here to develop for 9 months or less or so in her, normally 9 months, and then be delivered from her and be rested upon her knees, upon her lap, and taken care of as an infant until we can manage for ourselves, and then we release to the society. We have to really value the life that is responsible for delivering us. Allah has created that delivery system, and it's responsible for delivering us, and we have to value it and respect it very highly.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.